Meet Togo Zilengwenya, the woman behind one of the go-to food and wine adventure Instagram accounts, Your Lover in All Things Nice. Togo shares her zest for good food, excellent wine, and travel through her platform. She is also a mother of two, as well as a career woman. Togo is the co-author of a number of publications in the leading malaria journal on malaria research, and she has been featured on a PBS NewsHour article. She's also a member of the Zambia Monitoring and Evaluation Association. And in today's conversation, we talk about Lusaka's top restaurants, sights to see, things to do, as well as wine, and Togo's passion for nice things, and how that led to a new branch in her career, writing for local travel magazine, Mkwazi ProFlight Magazine. Welcome to Conversations with Lila B. Togo. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today because I know that we can talk about so many different things that you do and that you're interested in. But first, for the listeners, maybe you can just tell us, how would like your friends and family describe you?
So I think my friends and family would describe me as an extrovert, high energy, always upbeat, very talkative, and a person that makes friends easily, especially strangers. Actually, my family is worried for me that one day I would be kidnapped because I'm always so friendly to people that I don't know.
This is true as a family member, which I'll confess now. Togo is my family. I will say she's like one of the most friendly people and will just make friends with like random people. And you're like, girl, no, we don't know that person.
Yeah. We don't want you to go missing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So speaking of the fact that you have like this upbeat personality, this, I would say like a sense of like wonder, like you like adventure, you like discovering new things. It all kind of makes sense that now you have this, well, what would we call it? Is it, you've got like your Instagram and like your blog, I guess, which is Your Lover in All Things Nice. So how did that come to be?
Okay, so the background story is that many years ago, I think about many years ago, I used to be on Facebook. And because like you have already rightly put it, I've always been curious about discovering new places, whether it's restaurants, travel, accommodation. I've been blessed with a job. Like all my previous jobs have involved a lot of travel. So I was always discovering new places and sharing this on, I used to do restaurant reviews on Facebook. And so I would put out a picture of where I was, what I ate, the ambiance, grade the food, and I would share with people on Facebook. And so a lot of my friends and family would follow that and would inquire about sort of places to go. Unfortunately, I think I left Facebook maybe 7 years ago. I just needed a break and I've struggled to go back. But then the friends and family kept telling me, look, we miss your posts. We miss you sharing information about where you've been, what you've eaten. And so the prompting kept coming on and on because I was doing this on my WhatsApp status. And everybody was like, you need to do this more. You need to do this more. So, I mean, I started initially with like a page on Instagram for fitness because I wanted to lose a little bit of weight and I was cooking healthy meals, but then I realized that really wasn't my thing, you know? And then I closed that page down and I started Your Lover in All Things Nice. And the way that name came was in Ndebele, like a lot of my family and friends would say, Togo ya tandizi ndo. You know, you like things. You like nice things.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have been getting this from the time I was young, like that I like things, you know, I like nice things. So I translated that into English. And really that was the birth of Your Lover in All Things Nice. And it's amazing how when you follow your purpose, And when you follow something that you truly love, it will catapult you to so many things, like the people I've met and the things that have happened. And I mean, so it has given birth to so many things in terms of writing for Nkwazi magazine, as well as being invited to restaurants to give honest reviews by owners. I've even been like a secret eater of some sort and given grading, as well as I'm a guest show on a radio station. So this is Millennium Radio. And I speak, I'll be speaking for a series of 13 episodes about different things about food. And this has just opened up so many doors for me. And I think the take home for me is when you do what you truly love, you know, and you give it everything, everything will just, the dots always connect and opportunities will come your way. And it's really been a blessing.
Yeah, I definitely do agree with you there. Doing something that you love, not only do the dots just connect themselves, I think it becomes easier because what you do in terms of having your Instagram, like content creation is not easy. It's not as quick as everyone thinks. Yes. It's not just you get the perfect photo on the first try. I mean, I'm sure by now your photography skills are like better when it comes to like plated food and things. But like there's a lot that goes on. Making those reels that you make, there's you know, editing and stuff that goes into it. So I think when you really love what you're doing, it also enables you to just want to showcase things in the best way that you can because you have that passion, you have that drive. So Togo, You've always, well, we kind of just touched on how you've loved food, great experiences and wine, but can you talk a little bit about sort of the kind of relationship that you sort of have with wine and why like you love something like wine and the importance of, you know, sort of picking a good wine or having a good wine and food pairing?
My relationship with wine. I love wine. I need to say this. I love wine. I feel that the three beverages that I take in my life are water, wine, and tea. I'm really not a juice person. It's very rare to catch me having juice. So that out of the way, my relationship with wine actually started from my mother. So growing up, my mother used to love wine. I remember the wines she would drink were, her favorite was a Cinzano and Cold Duck. And I would watch her over the weekends because she worked in the banking sector and she would unwind at home over dinner. She would have wine when we'd go out. When we'd go out, like for dinner as a family, my mother would drink her wine. And because I wasn't allowed to drink wine as I was a child, there sparked my curiosity about it. And I really wanted to taste what this thing was that I wasn't allowed to take part of, you know. And so I would watch her, I would read the labels, and once or twice I did sneak in a sip, you know. And so growing up, I told myself, when I turn 18, or is it 21, the one thing I want to have is I want to have wine. So I my interest sparked from that because I watch my mother pair it with her, like her whites, with her chicken and pork or fish. And she loved she loved white wine more than red. But I did watch her pair her red meats with her red wine. So there began my interest and my curiosity was sparked. Fast when I was a legal age, I did try out a few other drinks, but I kept going back to wine. And that's how I started to, I mean, as a beginner, many, many years ago, I started with sweet wine, but then I started to learn the art of dry wines being better and how you could taste and learn. And I remember going to Cape Town some 7 years ago, And the one thing I told myself is when we go to Cape Town, I want to experience different wine farms, and I want to understand the process of how the grapes are picked, how they are processed into the barrels, the kind of barrels that are selected, even the different kind of soils, the weather. Wine is it's not something that you just drink to, you know, to swallow. Wine has different flavors, it's got different tastes. There's some wine that has got like, it's got oak in it. There's some with chocolate flavors, and appreciating that something has been, you know, so much care has been put into it. For it to get into the bottle, some will wait a few years before they start to sell them. And I love that the older the wine is, the better it is. And this is something, an analogy that I can relate to life. Because the older I've gotten, I honestly believe that I have gotten better. And, you know, it's an art, wine. Wine relaxes you. If you pair it with the right food, it accentuates the taste, you know, and it's just, I could speak on and on about it. It's a beautiful thing. It really is with great company, great conversations, and it also brings people together, and it's something that can be shared amongst people who are lovers, friends, and family. It brings people together, that's what I would say. That's my relationship with wine.
I think that's beautiful that you say, like, it brings people together, much like food does, much like even travel does. Mm-hmm. I mean, we both grew up definitely doing family trips and things like that. And I think that's also what opened up our eyes, like with our family traveling, to like see that like there's so many exciting places, whether it's in Zambia, Zimbabwe, that you can visit. And you can travel, whether it's on a budget or, you know, if you want to travel and have luxury, you can also accomplish that. So yeah, I think that's really cool. I wanted to talk to you about what kind of work your lover and All Things Nice does, or what kind of sort of services you provide as an influencer and brand.
Okay. So your lover and All Things Nice is basically sharing experiences with restaurants, with travel, and basically everyday sort of life. And the one thing I want to say about your lover and All Things Nice is one of the things I personally told myself, and I made a bet with myself, was that I would never post something that wasn't real. And this is because, like, as I was trying to figure out what it was that I wanted to do with your lover and All Things Nice, I did realize that I had met people personally who I had met maybe through social media first, and their lives on social media did not match their lives in person. So maybe they had to do certain things either for like to grow following, maybe to pretend that they take a certain beverage that they don't take, because they possibly had to do it for maybe sponsorship and likes and things like that. And one thing I told myself was I would be authentic. So it's not possible for a person to eat in a restaurant every day. And so on those days where I'm not out and I'm not traveling, I do show a lot of my cooking. So it's segmented into three things: the travel, my everyday sort of life, and the restaurants. So in terms of my everyday sort of life, let me start with that. I have two beautiful babies aged 10 and 6 years old. So they're in primary school. So on school mornings, I will post my lunch boxes that I prep for the kids. And the goal here is to try and share with other parents, because you can get stuck in a rut when you're preparing sort of like meals for the kids going to school, because you have to sort of keep a healthy, balanced diet. And in a world where like crisps, we pack a lot of these processed foods, including myself, because it's easier and they also do like them. It's sort of sharing ideas, healthy foods to put in the lunchbox. So I'll put in the fruit, I'll put in like a sandwich, juice, water, and I'll take a picture of this on my story and share it. And I have gotten a lot of interaction from other parents doing the same thing, sharing with me like, oh, this is what I posted for my kids, and how did you do this? How did you keep this warm? And so it's grown into sort of like a little community for parents that are, know that they this is a part of their life and they have to do it. So that's one sector.
Well,
that's one area rather. Another thing is,
Not to interrupt you, but I see the packed lunches for the kids and I'm like, oh, there's a cute idea for me, because I wish my lunchbox, I mean, yes, I'm grown, so I need a little bit more food, the portions, but I'm like, I wish my
exactly.
lunchbox was cute. I'm like, I need to think about, you know, adding some fruits, maybe some cheese slices. Like, it's, I really love the way that you do it. Like, it just inspires me. I'm like, I really need to get into my food prep.
Thank you. And because we have to be honest, over there's a lot of prep. Sometimes it goes as far as 3 days before you have people over. So this is marinating, prepping your vegetables and things like that, your rice and all these things, whether it's the traditional vegetables, you know, there's a lot that goes into that, going to the market to get your fresh vegetables and the vegetables that are in season. And so what I like to do is I take pictures of this and I incorporate the kids. They help me out a lot as well. And it's something I'll document until the very end when I put the food on the table. And because that's my life. Yes, I don't host people every day, but I like to show that process. I also like to bake a lot, because for the kids, I personally don't like cake, but I do it because of the kids. It's easy to have something to carry in the lunchbox. So they help me out as I cook and prep. That's sort of like my everyday life. And then there's the more of going to restaurants. So in Lusaka, a lot of restaurants are opening up now. We have more restaurants than we had before. And it's very difficult sometimes for people to keep track with restaurants that have just opened, or you're looking to maybe spend time, like a night out with your partner, with your friends, celebrate a graduation or promotion. Because I've been going to these restaurants for a very long time, I have developed a relationship with a lot of restaurant owners in Lusaka. And also, like, my friendly nature and frequenting these places, I do speak to the owners to also understand the challenges that they have and share maybe my experience and feedback with them. So one of the services I do offer is that I'm able to sort of, if you have an event or you have something and you'd like to go to a restaurant, depending on what it is that you want to do, you can contact me and I can sort of run your booking for you. And I'm just able to do that easily, depending on the occasion you have, at the drop of a hat. And like you going around and calling all these restaurants or visiting them. Like, if you wanted a great steak, I would be able to guide you to the place to go. If you wanted seafood, I'd be able to recommend one or two places to you. If you want something more traditional, that's something that I could recommend to you. So I'm able to do these sort of bookings because I have these contacts with these restaurant owners. And even on my page, you are able to just go and places I've been to, what I ordered, and that sort of gives you an idea, so you know before what it is that you will have and the experience that you potentially have. Although no same experience can be the same. I can go to a place, you can have a different experience, but the chances are high that I'll be able to guide you to sort of the better restaurants to experience something really great. And that's the same with travel. I have traveled throughout Zambia mostly for work. And with my travels, I decided I'm going to enjoy my job. I'm going to enjoy my life. And I've been to all provinces in Zambia. And I would be able to guide you sort of towards where to possibly sleep, a restaurant to eat at in that town or in that province. So it's really just sharing my knowledge and my experience with you to help you plan better.
Which is wonderful, because I think it's such a great resource to have people where, like you said before, it's authentic, it's relatable, but like, you know, someone like me who maybe, you know, the two of us might be in the same tax bracket or whatever. So, you know, I can relate and be like, hey, I'm going to Southern Province in 2 weeks. I heard that there's this and that to do. So I'll do like a couple of activities, but I'm really like keen on finding places to eat because, you know, I don't want to just eat at my lodge or my hotel where I'm staying. And then, you know, you can sort of recommend to me or even ask what's my budget and I can kind of tell you and you'll be like, all right, you can go and eat at these three places. So I think it's so cool that with influencers and sort of social media now in Zambia, we're getting to not only see more of Zambia if you haven't gotten the chance to travel, which is also inspiring you to go, but you're also just learning what's out there. Because a lot of the times I think we stay in our little catchment areas or we go to the same restaurants that we know, trust and love. And we don't know that something has opened, let's say, in Lilai, because we don't live in Lilai. But then we don't take the opportunity to go and try that restaurant. So it's amazing that you kind of go and check out these new cool places. And then you're kind of like the guide for us to be like, okay, this Saturday, that's what I'm going to do.
Yes. And if I may add on what you've said, you've touched on something that is very dear to me. I believe that every Zambian should experience Zambia to its full completion. Like, there's so many things that you can do in Zambia. And I think in my little way of posting and sharing my real life, as well as my travel, I want to say that you don't need to have a lot of money to have a good time. And I think this is the fear when I've interacted, when people have reached out to me, people are so fearful of even going to a restaurant because they're like, maybe it's so expensive. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that, or even traveling to a certain place. I believe one of the things I want to do is encourage Zambians to experience Zambia in its full completion, one. But two, with my relationship with these restaurant owners and business owners, I really want to vouch that packages for Zambians are created that are favorable. Like, one of the things that I'm really, really keen on doing is letting Zambians first have special rates as opposed to international rates. Like in Zambia, a lot of places you will notice when you go for travel, the rate is the same. It doesn't matter if you're a local or if you're an international person. And if you notice in other countries, it's not like this. They encourage local travel. And I think that a lot of businesses opened up to this idea during COVID, and because there was no one coming in from outside of the country, or if they were, they were very limited. People weren't really coming for holidays. They were coming for business. And so I feel that this travel, we should have done more to exploit the market for local families, because I mean, families now are being exposed to the idea that it's good, you can take a family vacation with your family, and you can go either to Eastern Province, Southern, the North. There's so many Northwestern, there's so many places that you can experience as a family. So it's really a personal mandate of mine to push that business owners have favorable packages for Zambian and local families, discounted rather. And then secondly, one of the things that is very dear to me is that it's really hard in Zambia with the economy to once off pay for something. It's very difficult. But if families are allowed to maybe like have a deduct process, they pay for a holiday over a period of 3 months or 6 months, that is an option that should be made. It's not always possible that people will be able to pay like full completion cash of a travel package. It is quite expensive given our economy. So really, like, in as much as it's great to share my experiences, I would also like to work in the background with business owners that want to create favorable opportunities for Zambians, because we have a very large local market that is middle income, that wants to spend their money. But we see that it's when we're going on vacation, we have to go to a country, we have to go to South Africa, we have to go to Zanzibar, we have to go to Dubai. There's so much to do and to experience in Zambia. And there's also that luxury level, if that is what they would want as well. It's really just, there's a gap that we have, and it's just creating a bridge across this gap so that both the local people and business owners can benefit.
So my next question for you is a little bit more about not necessarily what you do as your lover in All Things Nice. It's more about you do work in the public health sector, and that's obviously your actual like career. And like then you decide to do this. Why would you add more to your plate? And also you've hinted on how your work has led you to see a lot of Zambia. But what does public health mean to you, and why is it important for you to continue to do that work?
Was putting up solar lights in rural health clinics. One of my very first jobs before I finished my first degree at university was being a researcher on a project, and it was a health project. And that is when I started to fall in love with health, because that was many years ago, I think 2007, 2008, I was working as a research assistant on the health project, malaria. And when I finished my degree, they gave me an opportunity to work for them in rural health clinics. We were trying to reduce the prevalence of malaria, the incidence of malaria in the rural areas, Southern Province to be exact, to be specific, and then we expanded. What this did for me was it showed me another side of life, because I had grown up all in town in the urban area. And I started to relate with these people, and I'm still friends with the community health workers and the staff in the rural area, because I realized how privileged I was to be based in an urban area and how difficult it was for people in the rural community to have access to basic health care. You know, and they did it with so much gratitude, and they were really grateful and appreciative of the implementation we were running in these areas. I am a person that loves the work that I do, because even when I go at home, I know I get a salary and I get paid. But I mean, we are impacting lives one day at a time in the projects that I've worked in. And it's very fulfilling to me as a person to know that in my little way, someone's life or has been improved, or we've saved lives collectively as a team. And so this is something that is very dear to me, and almost all the projects or organizations I've worked with since then have been in health. And there's a lot of things that are challenging for Zambia in the healthcare sector, because we are an underdeveloped country. And we have very thin budgets for health, and so much is going on. We lose lives because of transport issues to the clinic, lack of medication, not enough staff, inadequate lighting. And if I could help in my own way with what I do, it's very gratifying for me. It really is, because nobody really thinks about the people in the rural community. We're so focused on the urban town and here, but Zambia is a very large country with the vast majority living in rural areas. So really putting attention to that is very gratifying for me. You asked me a question and you said, why would you put more on your plate by starting your lover in All Things Nice? The first honest reason is that your lover in All Things Nice is still in its infancy stage. And until then, I have to sort of put in a lot of personal resources into it until such a point that it's generating enough income to sustain itself. But the reason is I love both things. And I don't think it always has to be a choice in life between either this or that. I think, you can still do both things and still be happy. It's very taxing on me time-wise, because from 8 to 5, I'm in my, job, and I have to give it 100%. And what people don't realize is after hours is when I really work on your lover and All Things Nice. It looks easy. It's an Instagram page. No, I do a lot of writing for either companies or articles that I publish for businesses, my travel. I've had to teach myself different sort of applications for photography, like Lightroom, learning and understanding my phone and the different ways and things it can do. Like you mentioned, making the reels, choosing which pictures, there's so much work that goes into it. But like I said, when you love what you do, and when you have a vision for where to go, which I do have a vision for myself, I have to keep working at it, because there's somewhere that your lover in all things nice needs to be. And if I don't put in the work, we'll never get there. And my dreams scare me for your lover in all things nice. But if your dreams don't scare you, then what are you doing?
Amen.
And so it's one step at a time, you know?
I love
one
that
step
though.
At a time. So
I love that though for you, because I feel like, and I think our listeners can agree, that when you're talking about the work that you do in public health and impacting lives, yes, your lover and all things nice could just be seen as like, oh, it's a frivolous Instagram page, but it also impacts lives. As you said, you've built a community of parents who are now also checking what you put in kids' lunchboxes, suggesting ideas based on what they put, or asking, how did you manage to achieve this? So that's a community. There's a community of people who want to listen to you on Millennium Radio when you're talking about things like, you know, fine dining etiquette, or just the etiquette process of, like, you know, you've been invited to someone's home. What are the two things you should think of doing before you even, you know, enter the house or whatever? You know, I've heard you always talk about, are you carrying something for your host? Whether that be flowers,
exactly.
Whether that be wine, if you know they're like super into chocolate, some chocolate, because you know someone's going out of their way to host you, the least you can do while you're showing up is also show some appreciation. So I think
exactly
all the work that you do, yes, not only are you passionate about it, but it is all actually about sort of giving back, or, you know, exposing people to different ways of thinking or different ways of doing things and different experiences. So I do think that it's all very, very beautiful. And I commend you, because yes, as you said, it's not easy. You're a mother of two, you've got work. And even though this is your passion, you do have to put in the hard work to achieve and get your lover and all things nice to be where you want it to be.
Yes. And I like that you've spoken about it. And I just wanted to share something that's also very dear to me. Growing up, my mother was very hard on me with manners. And there was a point, I remember talking to my my childhood best friend, Kelsey. And I remember us saying when we were in grade three, and I told her, I said, my mother's disciplined me so much, I don't think she's my real mother. And then my best friend at the time, Kelsey, said the same thing. She's like, my mom is also hard on me. I think she's not my real mother too. Because we didn't understand at that age why our parents were so hard on us in terms of mannerisms. And growing up now, I've seen myself becoming my mother, because I'm also hard on my kids with regards to manners, because manners are... they're a mirror of who you are and where you come from and your background. And you also agree with that. Your mom was also hard on us in terms to manners and being well-behaved. And at the time, we didn't understand it. Yesterday, I went to a friend's house for lunch. I was invited. I was so busy running errands that I almost didn't carry something to our house. Just at the very corner before going to our house, I saw her. And I decided to pick up something to go to our house. So I was tempted to just go like that because she's my close friend. What I try to explain is, even I struggle with these things. It takes me being intentional, me telling myself that this is something I have to do. And one of the things that coming out public on radio to talk about these things, it has made me accountable in my own life. When I started speaking at Millennium Radio on What's Cooking, I saw it like I was giving a service to the Zambian community. A month into it, I realized that the things I was talking about, I had to be held accountable in my own home. The other day I was hosting people, I almost didn't wash the dishes, I was tired. But then I said to myself, Togo, you're going to speak about people washing dishes before they go to bed, and you want to do the exact opposite. I was so tired, but I washed the plates, I cleaned the kitchen, and I went to bed. So this, doing this and coming out in the public has also made me accountable in my own way. And it's good for me because I need to also put myself in check from time to time.
Yes, I know. I appreciate you saying that because no one is perfect. We all have days where you don't want to wash that plate or even just, you know, that cup of tea that you just had before bed. You're like, ah, if I just put it in the sink and put water, it's okay. But, you know, sometimes it's just like get it out of the way so that in the morning you walk into a clean space. Like for me, I actually love when things have been washed and whatever, even if they're sitting in the dish rack, right? So not everything is neatly packed away. But when I walk into the kitchen, I'm like already just calm because there's not a lot for me to do. Like, it's okay, I can pack away dishes. Okay. It's not now, oh, let's roll up sleeves first thing in the morning, start scrubbing dishes. No. So yeah, I definitely do also appreciate that you brought up accountability, because I think it is easy to get lost and also not hold yourself accountable and also just like be the person who encourages people to act one way, but then when are you forgotten that I said people should do this.
Exactly. And this is what I said about being authentic on the page, because it's like, it's not every day. I post pictures. There are some times where I've come back from work, I've been in the field, and there's a day I just wanted to eat in a pan on the floor in my house. And I took a picture and I posted that, because that is also me. I will go to a fine, like a five-star restaurant, have my meal. But I also love street food. I love to eat from the market, like Makebeto and the like. It's also me. It's the same person. And showing this, because people believe that if your page is more for fine dining and exclusive, that's what it has to be. But this is my life. There are days when I just want to eat in the market. I'm craving that T-bone that is char grilled with my visashi, my impwa, and my lumanda, which is one of my favorite Zambian local vegetables. I also eat that. Oh, I want sausage from the street. I also eat that. But it's the same person. It's also me. Going to a five-star restaurant, going to a wine farm, really exclusive wine. It's also me. So yes, being authentic is something I just want to live by, because I don't want to get lost in the translation of the social media. It can be a bit much.
So which are like three top places that you would recommend for a day outing in Lusaka? Pick a place where you can go with your family, whether it's enjoying a meal, whether there's an activity there, okay. It doesn't have to have both. Then let's say a place you can go to with friends, and a place, a romantic place you can go to.
Okay, so there's three categories. There's one with friends, one with family, and one that's romantic, right?
Yes.
So, yes. So if you are wanting to do something with family, sort of like an experience where you can bond, educate yourselves, I think I would give you two places. One is the Lechwe Art Gallery, and this is in Rhodes Park. So this is something that I did with the kids. And they absolutely loved it. They looked at pieces of art and sculptures, and it was really just lovely for them to do and to experience. So that's one of the places I would recommend for family. The second place I would recommend for family is actually the Lusaka Museum. This is in sort of like Nipa area as you're heading into town. So the Lusaka, the museum is really fun, but also a way that you can teach your family or educate yourselves about Zambian history and things like that. So I would definitely recommend that for family. So that's the art gallery as well as Lusaka Museum. In terms of for friends, if you wanted to do two things with friends. And I think the things that are really fun is obviously having a meal and like drinks and the like. I would actually recommend to you Green Fingers. So Green Fingers restaurant is in Makeni. I think they have a, I think they, if you Google them, you can find them. They have really, like they have plants, so you can buy plants from there, but they also have very fresh food. And I like that their meals are very, they're quite affordable. And I've seen a lot of people with friends and family as well. So it sort of speaks to both of them. And a place to go out and have a little bit of fun with friends, I would actually recommend you to go to Nightjar. So Nightjar is at East Park and it's a lovely Mediterranean restaurant. I think the one thing I love about that place is actually the ambience. The ambience is, it's heavenly. A lot of effort and thought was put into the chairs and all the centerpieces and things like that. So that is for family, sorry, for friends. Romantic. This is quite, it's a difficult one, but romance, I would probably, I have so many spots to offer, but I think I would recommend the Orchard for like a romantic, private sort of feel where you can have lunch with a good like sort of scenery. Also the food is fresh, it's from the farm produce. I would also actually recommend Osekai, as other people say it. I say it in a wrong, in a different way. For like a weekend, you can have like a weekend romantic getaway there, and you could do lots of things like a picnic, nature walks, bike rides. That's more like of a romantic feel to it. I think those are the places that I would recommend.
Ooh, I love that you brought up Sakai Paradise because, guys, by the way, just follow her. It's at Your Lover and All Things Nice. I'll make sure I add it in the show notes, as well as links to the places that she's mentioned, as well as their names. But yes, I saw your Instagram from when you went there, and I was like, I need to actually go and stay at like the new accommodation that they've done and do the activities and just like enjoy a nice, peaceful, relaxed weekend. And also get to see some cute animals. Like, I think that's such a like rare thing that we don't think about because
exactly.
In Lusaka, I mean, there are a couple of places where you can go and see animals, but I think that's such a nice picturesque setting. So, yeah. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today, Togo. I really appreciate it. Guys, make sure you check out the show notes. I will have all of Togo's information for her social media so that you can like, follow the page and all of those things. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity. And thank you for the work that you're doing with having one-on-ones with people doing different things, you know. People would never really know the in-depth and the background because like someone will go on someone's Instagram page or Facebook or Google them and you just read and all you can see is maybe you're just seeing a cover. You're not really getting to know the person. So this is a really good platform and opportunity for listeners, viewers, to find all things nice and all the other people you've had on the show.
Thanks for listening and taking time to join the conversation. Remember, you can find this podcast, Conversations with Lila B, on all streaming platforms. Don't forget to listen to past episodes and give us a star on your favorite episode. You can also leave a voice note, and who knows, you might be featured on the next episode.